Welcome. Most women around the world at some point think about breast cancer and wonder, is there any way to reduce the risk of getting it? I'm Deborah Howell, and this is Building Healthier Communities with Atlantic Medical Group. My guest today is Dr. Rebecca Yang, a full-time breast surgeon at Atlantic Breast Associates, who was recently awarded the prestigious Hope Begins Here Award in honor of her dedicated and compassionate care for patients with cancer. Good morning, Dr. Yang.
Good morning, Deborah. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, you focus exclusively on the care of women with malignant and benign breast disease, and you have a comprehensive patient-centered approach. What does that really mean, a patient-centered approach?
That means that we want to focus on how we can help the woman, you know, make decisions about her risk for breast cancer if she is coming in with high risks or concerns about how she can manage her risk. It means that we want to work with them to individualize their care if they have a diagnosis of breast cancer, working with the other health issues they may be confronting, the fears. We work as a team so that the woman meets not just the breast surgeon, but we have a breast medical oncologist, a breast radiation oncologist. We have a support staff, including a breast nurse navigator that helps guide the patient through her journey, because we know it's not just about the patient. It's about her family. It's about, you know, everything that breast cancer impacts in her life. So we want to make sure it's not just the diagnosis, but the woman.
It's a very refreshing approach and, you know, long overdue. Breast surgery has advanced a great deal in the past couple of decades, thankfully, and you're skilled in advanced breast surgeries like lymph node biopsies and nipple sparing mastectomies. Tell us about these types of surgeries.
So when people first started operating on women with breast cancer, we thought that we had to remove all the lymph nodes in her armpits. Where breast cancer goes often is in the armpit on the same side as the breast cancer diagnosis. And so people thought to help cure women, we should just take the whole clump of lymph nodes out, which can be up to 20 to 30 lymph nodes. Mm-hmm. And that caused a lot of problems afterwards. A big thing is called lymphedema, or swelling of the arm. And then they could have permanent nerve damage in the armpit, and it would affect their ability to live the rest of their life doing their normal activities of daily living. And people realized that removing all the lymph nodes does not cure the woman, and it leads to problems long term. So we developed something called the sentinel lymph node biopsy, where we are able to identify what we call the gatekeeper lymph node, the first one or two lymph nodes where cancer will go. We just remove those in the OR and are able to get all the information about her stage from that, so that if you just remove a few, you're not putting the woman at a risk for long-term side effects, including the lymphedema risk, which it used to be up to a 30% lifetime risk, and now it's down to about a 1% to 3% lifetime risk. It means that most of our surgeries can be an outpatient surgery if you're doing a lumpectomy and a sentinel node biopsy. So the big theme in a lot of breast surgery is less is more. We do less surgery, but able to get more information and really give her the most up-to-date and individualized care. On the other end of the spectrum, there's something called nipple-sparing mastectomies, where some women just don't qualify for having a what we call breast-conserving surgery or lumpectomy. So traditionally, we started off when I was initially training, a woman had a mastectomy without any kind of option for reconstruction. So she was just had a flat chest. And over time, we've evolved our technique and our understanding of breast cancer risk. And now we've evolved to the point where a nipple-sparing mastectomy means that we can perform the mastectomy through an incision, usually in the called the inframammary fold or the crease underneath the breast tissue. So it's almost an invisible scar, but we can remove all the breast tissue without removing any of the overlying skin. So when a woman is finished, all of her we've preserved the appearance of the breast completely, even though all the cancer operation has been performed underneath.
So that and why is that so important for a woman?
I mean, for it to feel whole and hopefully not be reminded all the time that she did have the diagnosis. And it's something that, you know, most now women realize it's not just about having the surgery and surviving the cancer, but actually getting back to your life. Women are surviving cancer so long. We want them to get back to life and make it sort of like a blip in the road of life, ultimately, as opposed to having a daily reminder.
Awesome. Dr. Yang, what is integrative therapy, and why do you have such a strong interest in it?
So integrative therapies are what we call additional treatment or adjunct options for women who are having cancer treatment to assist in their recovery and manage side effects. So integrative therapies involve non-traditional, non-clinical treatment like acupuncture, massage therapy, Reiki therapy, art therapy, yoga, those kind of other alternative things to help a woman get through the treatment, deal with the side effects as another way to manage a lot of the stressors, the physical side effects. And these therapies additionally have been shown to help improve outcomes because, again, it's not just taking care of the actual cancer, the medical diagnosis, but the physical and mental diagnosis that goes along with managing a patient. Taking care of the whole person, again, the idea of the patient-centered, comprehensive approach to guide the woman through her journey and lead her on to survival.
I'm sure that's just so appreciated. Now, after a patient has breast surgery, is there some sort of survivorship care planning for women that can help them not just survive, but thrive?
Absolutely. In fact, that's kind of now the standard of care for any woman who's being cared for breast cancer. Again, it's based on the fact that because survivorship is so good, people realize that it's not just enough to say, oh, you survived your cancer, deal with it. Many of the side effects that women get that are part of our intent to cure her are long-lasting. So once a woman has completed what we call active treatment, which means surgery, having had her surgery, radiation if she had that, and chemotherapy, we meet with her to review her diagnosis, review the treatment that she had and go over the side effects that she should look out for and that we're going to monitor her for. And then we also outline to her plans for recurrence surveillance or follow-up because she's had all the right treatment, thankfully most women continue their lives and never come back, but the risk of recurrence is greatest in the first 2 years after diagnosis. So we tell them that we're going to monitor them more closely in the first 2 years, and it's a team approach. Usually any patient will be seen by the breast surgeon, myself, my breast radiation oncologist, medical oncologist, and often, again, the nurse navigator, so that we want to make sure that she's seen at least every 4 to 6 months for the first 2 years after diagnosis, and then every 6 months after 3 years after that. And then we go on after 5 years to once a year. And we kind of outline to her the plans for monitoring her, the treatments or the tests she might get. And we also inform her primary care provider, who also can be informed of what is the plans, so any resources that she might need otherwise. So the woman doesn't just leave. She knows the plan because knowledge is power. And they feel much more comfortable knowing, okay, this is how I'm going to be monitored. We give them information about any side effects to call us for, just to, again, make sure they know that we're always going to be there for them.
Well, that just makes perfect sense. Now, what's your view of clinical trials for patients with a diagnosis of breast cancer?
I always encourage my patients to participate in a clinical trial if they qualify, because they have benefited from all those women who have volunteered to participate in clinical trials in the past. We would not be where we are today with all the great advances in especially the chemotherapy and targeted therapy treatment without all the women who have participated in clinical trials. So I'm a strong advocate of them. Indeed, we have several clinical trials here at Atlantic Health, especially in our breast surgery team. We are active participants in national clinical trials currently, because we're constantly trying to improve survival while improving methods to treat the cancer. So I am a strong advocate. I've been a principal investigator on several national clinical trials myself. So.
Got it. My final question is, what else should we know about breast disease in the year 2019?
In 2019, breast cancer is almost never a death sentence. We know more than we ever have. In 2019, we still have ways to go, but there are certain things that I think I really try to emphasize to all my women that they can actually do to be proactive in reducing their risk for breast cancer. And the main theme is estrogen exposure, meaning certain things that you can control, including alcohol intake, because alcohol acts like estrogen on the breast tissue, obviously tobacco use, and actually maintaining a normal BMI or weight. Obesity, which is a big risk factor for many medical problems and is a big problem in the U.S., is also a risk for breast cancer. So because the more fat you have, the more estrogen your body creates to stimulate the breast tissue to undergo change that could potentially lead to breast cancer. So my big emphasis, too, is on healthy lifestyle, maintaining a normal weight, trying to exercise, all the things that your regular doctor is trying to encourage you to do. drink less than one glass of alcohol per day, and definitely don't smoke or try to stop smoke. So breast cancer is one of the most treatable diseases now, but there are things that we can do to even make it less common.
Got it. Well, Dr. Yang, it's been an utter pleasure talking to you today. Really appreciate your time.
It's been my absolute pleasure to talk to you today, and I feel very lucky to be able to work in this field.
That's Dr. Rebecca Yang at Atlantic Breast Associates. Thanks for checking out this episode of Building Healthier Communities with Atlantic Medical Group. Call 908-598-6576 or visit us online at atlanticmedicalgroup.org. That way you can get connected to Dr. Yang or another provider. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels. And be sure to check the entire podcast library for topics that might interest you. Catch you next time.